Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are in for a treat this morning. Pastor Terry Howell, he's on vacation. He'll be back next Sunday. But we have Pastor Terry Wilson this morning. Amen. So he's going to come. I tell you, this is a blessed brother here. He's full of the word, full of the wisdom of God. And we just thank God for the gift that he is to the body of Christ and the church here at Father's Vineyard. Does such an awesome job on the internet and the website and different things that he does. But, you know, he didn't want me to mention all that, but I thought I would anyway. How many know we need to honor the gift that God has given to the body? Amen. Come on, give him a hand this morning. Not him, but Jesus, okay?
Thank you. That's right.
Amen. So, Brother Terry.
Don't mess up, right?
Don't mess up.
Don't mess up. Every time I speak, that's what Pastor said. Don't mess up. Oh, goodness. Hey, don't mess up. Pastor Terry is watching on the live stream. I just got a text. Thank you for the warning up there in the crow's nest. Looking out for a brother. Oh, goodness. Tell you right now, it's good to be here. You know, the Bible says where there's unity, that's where the commanded blessing. Blessings don't even get a choice at that point. It's commanded. You know what I'm saying? Where there's unity, that's where the commanded blessing is. And, you know, our ears interpret unity as rhythm and harmony. And boy, the band and the praise and worship was in unity this morning. And I was blessed by it. I was blessed by it. And for you guys, just so you know spiritually what's going on, I think musically we can understand. But see, every time I heard Robbie throw that heavy on the one and the two and four on the snare, I had this vision. I had this vision of Jesus coming down as a boxer. And he's seeing your heart and my heart and our lives sort of hardened a little bit because of life. You know, life will make you hard at times. And he just, boom, softening it up. Boom, softening up. Boom, softening one. I mean, just laying that groove down. Him and Dan just thundering it through, just softening us up. And then I heard Lee and Charlie and the keyboards get us distracted with beautiful melody. Ooh, what? Squirrel. What was that? And then you vocalists just prophetically laying down God's word and truth in that tender heart. And that intellectually distracted mind so that we could receive the actual love of God. That's what I saw. I don't know what y'all saw. And some of y'all go, that boy is weird. Well, yes, but that's what I saw. So don't ever take for granted the gifts that God is giving us on a weekly, daily, and hourly basis. He loves us, don't he? Ooh, he loves us. Now, I've been told, Terry, you know what season we're in, so don't get controversial. I said, okay. Terry, you know where things are at right now. People's passions are high. So don't get controversial. No. You can leave your toes out. I'm going to dance around them. Rhetorically. Now God might step on them. So here's what I'm gonna do. The most controversial thing I could ever say, I'm gonna say right up front. We'll get it out of the way, and that way we can enjoy the rest of it. How's that? We'll eat the vegetables up front. How's that? And I've got to ask this question because it's going to illustrate something I'm trying to teach on and reveal, I think, through God's word today. And so I'm gonna ask a question, and it's going to invoke potentially passions. It's going to invoke thoughts. And some of you, I'm looking at you, some of you are going to feel tempted to answer the question out loud. Don't do it. I ask it for you to be able to answer it within yourself. Okay? And I'm going to We'll talk a little bit about manifesting the promises of God this morning. So I want you to put a picture. Once you have the answer, there's going to be a picture show up in your mind. Just keep it in your heart. Okay? This is my thought. And then I'll tell you what. Y'all don't answer, but I will. Okay? Because I don't think it's fair for everybody to answer out. And I don't think it's fair for me to ask a question that I'm not willing to answer. Right? But by answering it, this thing, the wheels could go off the bus real quick. So don't answer it out loud. Just think about it, okay? Who do you think, between the two choices we have in this competition right now, in this contest, who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to... All right, keep it to yourself. Mike stole my answer. I think it's going to be the Los Angeles Dodgers. What do you think? Probably so. Now, in truth, I'm having fun. In truth, who thought of a political candidate? In truth, you're thinking something else, wasn't you? And I was playing. I was joking to get you there. I did it on purpose. That was a little rhetorical game. But it illustrates something. The way we interpret words has everything to do with the way we've been conditioned. And it has nothing to do with what's actually being said sometimes. And God can give you a word that literally will set you free this morning. Literally. Boom. How many of you ever had that happen? I've had that happen. I mean, I'll give you an example. God used a man to, and y'all can't tell it, but I've lost a little bit of weight. Just a little. Not enough to tell yet. But I was going to this guy, and he says, "What's the number one thing you want to work on right now, Terry?" And I was like, I'm just sick and tired of feeling bad, and it has nothing to do with vanity or anything like that. It has everything. I just want to feel better. I want to be healthier. And that's always been a struggle for me, always. And so through our time together in coaching, he says, "Well, explain to me, why don't you just go to the gym and work out?" I was like, "Have you been there? It's loaded full of torture devices." That's what you do to people you don't like. Why would I do it to myself? He says, "Well, have you ever been in shape?" And I said, "Yeah, back in the day, 120 pounds ago, I was an athlete." He says, "Well, tell me about 120 pounds ago." And I was like, "Well, I used to play basketball, believe it or not. I run up and down the court. I was one of the guys that could jump up and grab the rim. Couldn't dunk it, but I had a little game at the time. I played on a decent team that went to state. So, it wasn't like I was a slacker." He says, "Well, why don't you like it?" I said, "Oh, let me tell you. We had one of those coaches that said they might outshoot us, they might out-rebound us, but I tell you one thing they won't do, or if it kills me, they won't outrun us." And during practice, 3 days a week, all we did was run suicides up and down that court, up and down that court. And I was like, and I love the game, but I'm going to tell you what, I got tired of being tortured. And what he was trying to get me to reveal to him was my attitude toward the word exercise. And how I had an emotional attachment to the word exercise. It's flashback circa 1990. I was like, "Why would you do that to yourself?" So I've avoided it ever since. And you're talking about inner healing, deeper healing. All through life, you and I have words that are breaking us. Words have power, folks. I don't know whoever came up with the cliche, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but they lie." I'm going to tell you something. You're here today. You're physically here today because of words that are spoken. The emotional state that you're in right now is because of the words that you've bought into. The life that we experience is because of words. We're in a country that was established because of men getting together and putting words on paper. Words are powerful. Words aren't just some sort of thing that's modulated by timbre and tone and cadence, but it's the very thing that created life, that sustains life, that cares for life. Words are powerful. So today, I want to talk to you about more than words. Now, I'm not talking about this bunch here. And for those who listen to me, I had to put that in there since if I'm going to rob a song title from the 90s, I better go ahead because I know your head's going there. More than words is all you have. Okay. That boy got ADD. Yeah. Words are powerful. Words shapes our attitudes. Words shape our emotions. Words shape everything. Now, I want to be clear this morning. This is not a teaching or a message that I'm giving you to try to modify the way that you speak to other people. This is not a sales training on how to close the deal and be more influential. This is not a marriage training on how husbands and wives should talk to one another. This is not a parenting course on how you should talk to your children. I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about today. I want to talk to you today about how you speak to yourself. Because I have figured out something. If I'll be kind to myself, I can start being kind to others. But I can't tell myself a lie and then turn around and tell you the truth. It don't work that way, does it? And I've been in the profession of sales and business and leadership and coaching and that kind of thing for going on, you know, high school was my first job, and it was in that vein. And I've read mounds and mounds and mounds of books and listened to podcasts and gone to seminars and gone to conferences. And all of it's about how to speak, how to articulate ideas and emotions that will move people, how to convey a message. And they all seem to miss one great point. And it's this. The way you speak, the way you articulate your thoughts and ideas to others, really don't matter a hill of beans. You could speak with a slur. You could speak with language that is not above a third grade reading level. What matters is your heart. That's all that matters, your heart. Maya Angelou says that people will often forget what you tell them, but they will never forget how you make them feel. If I care for you, it doesn't matter the words I use. You'll hear it. If I don't care for you, it doesn't matter if I'm the most smooth-talking, slick, you know, whatever that's ever come out of the production line. You'll hear it. It's a matter of the heart. And our hearts sometimes get hardened and they get corrupted by the fact of bad ideas and actually lies from the enemy that we've bought into. And once we internalize them, and once we believe these truth claims that we've internalized, all we can do is regurgitate them back out into the universe and, unfortunately, to ourselves. So we get on what I call the crazy train. Just going around in circles. Yes, crazy train is another reference to a song that reminds me of Chipper Jones. So y'all just got to forgive me. I got one of those minds. Where did I go? How did I get there? Which way is up? Yeah, I already did that one. I want to talk to you about this verse right here. This verse had a great impact on me as a child because it sort of developed a mantra in me that I got from my grandmother, and I was able to share this at her funeral years ago because I think if we allow people that God's put in our lives, if we allow them to speak into our lives, I'm telling you what, it'll change the course of your life. Amen. I'm standing up here today because of an old Bible teacher that just loved the Word of God You know, I'm not got the personality types that really dig in, and because I'm not a detailed person. But there's something supernatural that God gave me as a gift to be very detailed and meticulous when it came to Scripture. It's the only thing in life I get real meticulous about. It's real weird. Ask my wife. I'm not a detailed person. But I was sitting at home after school one day, and a preacher was on TV, and he gave this verse, and this is the passage you ought to recognize. It's where Jesus is going into the wilderness, and Satan is tempting him. And he preached on this message, and he was reading it out of the King James, so this is going to be the King James. And he read the passage, and just real quick, he says, I'll get down there, and he shall give his angels, because he's telling Jesus, you ought to just jump off his cliff. And then he quotes a passage in Psalms. He says, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. He's trying to con Jesus. He's trying to tempt Jesus. He's trying to tell him, you can do this. The Bible says, and he quotes this passage out of Psalms 91. And the preacher went on, and I don't know what point he was making, but boy, my grandmother had a point to make. She got, and this is back before clickers. She got up and cut that TV off, grabbed her King James Bible, and walked, sat down beside me on that couch. I was just wanting to watch a ball game, but Mom, Grandma had to watch it. And she said, and she opened up and she said, I want you to read this. And she says, now read what the Bible says. I said, it said what the man said. She said, yeah, but he didn't point out something that the devil was doing, Terry. And I said, what? He quoted a passage of Scripture, and the devil added this one phrase that's not in the Psalms that he was quoting. And she says, and without you understanding that, you'll understand presumption as faith. And God has called us by faith, not by presumption. You add that one little passage right there, that little, just a few little words, it changes the whole meaning of that text. Satan was trying to tempt Jesus by words, and he was adding to God's word and trying to pervert what God calls faith into what he wanted to be as presumption. And how many times has the doctrine of faith been abused by people that are trying to get you to walk in presumption? And God says, we're supposed to walk by faith. Everything we do is supposed to be by faith. It's impossible to please him without faith. But boy, can presumption not get you all kinds of messed up, can it? So the text I want to talk about just in a short little bit, we just got a few moments, and so everybody go, I'm going to get to eat. All right. Here's the text. It says this, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Lord, you're my rock and my redeemer. Reminds me of a song, don't it, Charlie? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, right? Pleasing to you, pleasing to you. You know why music's so powerful? Because as soon as I can get it in a melody, it shuts the intellectual mind down. The spirit can open up. The soul can open up. We can get it past that. That's why David wrote every one of the things y'all love about the Psalms. It's a song. David said, I got some. David had a revelation by God before Carl Jung and the rest of the psychologists came on the scene and said, no, that's the reason why. But there's something interesting about this passage. You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? Okay. But David here is saying, may the words of my mouth, well, what if the meditations of my heart ain't caught up yet? Then all of a sudden, my mouth can't speak right. So why are you putting mouth before heart, David? It's going to get good in here. It's about to get good. Question is, who is your speechwriter? Who's writing your words that you're saying? I want to give you a quick example of how this works. And it wasn't until last year. I've always the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Now, the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. The problem I got is, I'm working on my heart. I'm working on my heart. I'm reading. I'm having other people speak into me. But occasionally, my mouth still gets all twisted, right? And all of a sudden, things get sideways on me. I'll show you something real quick. I think this will illustrate this real. Here's you. Looks like you've been going to the gym. You look good. Here's the world around you. It's very interesting. Y'all gonna love this. Did you know neurologists tell us that there's 2 million bits of reality that we could perceive that's going on around us every second? Every second. Every second. 2 million bits of reality. Everybody in here got a big toe in your left foot? Did you think about it until I brought it out? See, there's 2 million bits. There's 2 million bits of reality going on right now. But we just don't think. And you know why? Because we'd go crazy if we tried to think of it. So what do we do? What do we do to get these bits of information down to a size that's even able to absorb? Well, what happens is we delete, we distort, and we generalize things that we see. That's how our minds work. That's why when you have a car accident and you have two witnesses come before the stand and the judge asks, what did you see? You can have two different witnesses try to be as truthful as possible, telling exactly, and they all, both of them saw something different, didn't they? You know why? Because it comes through the prism of that person's personality type, what they saw, sight, sound, smell. And so here's the weird thing. We distort it down so that our minds from 2 million down to 134,000 bits. That's how we get it down into a collage that the mind can manage. Here's what's very interesting. You can't cognitively think of about the average person 5 to 7 things at one time. Men, you're probably more around 4. Women's more around 8. And that gets you. My wife can talk about 4 things at one time, and I'm just like. Y'all slow down for us guys. But they tell us we can't bring in but about plus or minus 7 things at one, 5 to 7 things, right? So what happens? Well, my clicker's got battery problems. Once we bring that in, what's happening is it's going into your subconscious. Is in your subconscious. Because you cognitively can't think of 134,000 things at one time. You just can't, right? But your soul, your subconscious can, right? And you're perceiving, you're cognitively thinking about 5 to 7 things at one time. So then you got to say, well, what does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? What does this mean? And only till I can compare what I've had experienced before in the back of my mind, and I don't even know why I feel this way, but I'm comparing it. So, for instance, Charlie gets up here, and what chords are y'all playing with that one song that's got that real minor feel to it? E minor. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. So it's got this minor tone going, rock tone. Some of you, yeah. I'm taking back my freedom. I'm in it to win it. Some of you, now why does it, lyrically, if you're watching the Bible, no one can lyrically have a problem with it. But why did the music invoke different emotions in different people? Why was my feelings, which became my state of mind, why can it invoke one for one and something different for the other? What happened? I'm no good with this clicker. Thank you. Matter of fact, I'll just point. The reason is because for us to have a feeling, we have to compare it to something. That's the only way we can invoke our judgment toward this. How do I feel about this? And you not even cognitively thinking, your spirit man, your subconscious. I shouldn't say spirit, but your subconscious. Oh, man. Ooh, back in ninth grade, I was at this party and I was doing this thing and I was doing this and that, and boy, I still feel ashamed about it. You're not thinking about that, by the way. It might not even occurred. It might not, the thought, memory might not ever even hit the frontal lobe cortex for you to, but boy, there's something on the inside of you. Have you ever just saw someone and it evoked a feeling? You ever been at a place and it just evoked something? You don't think about it, right? You ever smell something? Have you ever had a sense go off? And you're trying to, and then what do we do as Christians? Especially, I'll put this in context for people that like to give me a hard time online. For us to have a proclivity toward non-cessationist ways of looking at Scripture. That means we believe grace gifts are still effective. But for us that believe that there's a spiritual dynamic going on, that there is good and evil, that there's demonic forces going on, that there's supernatural, there's angels around us, we still believe that, right? So for us that believe that, sometimes what will we do? Yeah, we'll rebuke the thing. We'll make a judgment on the thing. When God's, all he's doing is trying to bring up, there's an area that needs to be worked on. There's an area that needs some inner healing. There's an area, and we will wrongly judge something because of a predisposition attitude towards something. And I'm telling you what, folks, we live in a time right now that the grace of God is moving like never before. I know some of y'all don't believe that, but I'm telling you, the grace of God is, there's more opportunity right now for you as the believer than at any time in written history. There really is. I said this at the beginning of the year at our conference, and I had some of them just get ticked off. Oh, he's just one of those, you know, positive thinking, speaking, blow wind up your briefcase. I cleaned it up. Come on now. Just trying to be happy, feel good, just trying to make a business plan like Joel Osteen would have or something. I mean, whatever judgments they try to. And that, there's a reality, because here's the thing. What brings value? What brings value? A need. I have a need. You have an answer. Value is created. In the marketplace, it's money. In the kingdom of God, it's souls. Right? It's the same principle. I have a need. I have an answer, I create value. I'm telling you what, the fields are ripe. I'm telling you, more than ever before, all you gotta do, here, all you gotta do is walk in the peace of God that's been afforded to you. All you gotta do is sing that song that we sung this morning over top of you. I'm telling you what, God's favor is on you. His blessings are on you. For 1,000 generations, you might have children that's gone wayward. I'm calling them back right now as I call my own. You might have family members that have done you wrong. I'm saying you can forgive them right now no matter what they do. I'm telling you, the grace of God is here in this time period for you to beat and defeat every enemy that's in front of you. He really is. Don't be conditioned by society. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't, listen, Bill alluded to it last week. I'm telling you. I've said it a time or two before, but there's evil going on right now in the world trying to manipulate you. I'm telling you, there's things going on that, you know, because you might not be a technical person, you don't fully get it, but I'm telling you, every time you pick up your phone, you go shopping, you do this, you do that, you click on this, you like this, there's big data that knows what you're doing. And they sell that information to other companies and other entities that want to influence you. And they do it in ways that are some of the most cunning, deceptive ways you could ever think about. I'm telling you what, there's people that have left some of these big tech companies that come out and says, we can't even, they're not believers, they're not Christians, they're just like, this is way too deceptive for me to be a part of anymore. Don't let politics, social media, the media in general, separate you from your brothers and sisters. Don't. Because where the unity is, there's what? And that's how the enemy can defeat us. It's divide and conquer. It's the oldest game in the book. Amen? I'm telling you what, God's for you. I love that song, Charlie. He's for me. Amen. He's for me. God's blessings are for us. Let's move on real quick. I'll get out of here. How do you break the cycle real quick? You break the cycle, let me just tell you, by truth. Truth is what breaks it. If you've got something on the inside of you that's informing you to speak differently in your life, to speak to yourself, to regurgitate thoughts and ideas that are incongruent with what God says, what will break that is getting in the truth and pouring it over you. And I would advise in times like this, in seasons like this, read scripture, but then find songs that have scripture in them and let it sing and pour over you. It will cut through some of the noise in your soul. Keep going. Truth. He says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. It's the knowing of the truth that sets you free. It's not the truth. You got to know it. It's got to be a reality moving forward. I'm going to end with this one right here. Y'all remember the song? Now, before you get offended, I'll tell you the reality, the relevance of it.
We get it almost every night.
That song, you can turn it down a little bit. That song was written back in 1973 by one hit wonder named Sherman Kelly. Played for a group called Kings. What was the name of that group? I wrote it down. King something. You look it up, but it's Sherman Kelly. And here's how it came about. Let me see if I want to read this to you because it's so important, and it goes to what we're talking about here. He says this. Here's the lyrics. You can keep it going a little bit if you want. You don't have, but whatever you want to do, it's fine. Okay. He says, we get it almost every night. What's he talking about? The moon, big and bright. It's a supernatural delight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. They don't bark and they don't bite. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. Now you say, hey, Terry, come on now. What's the point? Well, him and his band, the Kings, King something, I can't even remember it now. But they were playing in St. Thomas down in the Caribbean. And they decided after playing in this King Harvest. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. It was going to bug me. It was one of those things, you know. They were playing in this nightclub that night and decided, okay, they got a couple days off. They were going to take a schooner and go over to St. Croix and just hang out on the beach. And they're kids, right? Him and his bandmates and his girlfriend and everything. Well, on the way over there, Sherman gets sick. You know, all the bobbing and weaving of the thing because it's a little schooner, right? He gets sick, and so he's too sick, stomach-wise, to ride back with him. So they said, okay, well, this is what we'll do. We'll stay, you know, 50 yards, 100 yards offshore and throw anchor, and you just sleep on the beach that night and get to feeling better. And his girl stayed there with him on the beach just to make sure he was fine because he was throwing up and all this other nonsense. Well, about midnight that night, he wakes up to seeing some people take advantage of his girlfriend and hit him over the head with a ball bat multiple times and nearly killed him. And he was laying there in the sand bleeding out and seeing out of the side of his face what was going on and what they were doing to her. And they were standing in line one at a time. There's 10 of them. And he said something came over him. The adrenaline or something just pumped up in him. He's not a believer, by the way, that I know. So, but it just shows how God's realities work. He stood up and he just roared like a lion. It sounded like, and because they were in, you know, all this nonsense of voodoo and all this other stuff, they thought he'd gotten possessed by an animal. So they were very superstitious. So they run off. Well, by that time, his friends, hearing all the commotion, they come in. they come in and they see all this nonsense going on, and they take him off to the hospital, and he nearly dies. 3 days in the hospital, nearly dies. Now, he set to marry that girl, and he's thinking to himself, how am I supposed to play beach music, play at beaches, and marry this girl after this trauma, after this going on? Because one thing is for your face and stuff to heal up. It's another thing for your soul to heal up. And he said, this epiphany came to him. He says, that was one time that happened on the beach, one time, one instance. If that never happened, what would you have saw? Well, he says, we get it almost every night. This moon is big and it's bright. It's a supernatural delight. He started penning the lyrics. And the therapist said, start singing that over yourself. So he put music to it. And he just said, we get it almost every night, this moon, big and bright. It's a supernatural delight. They don't bark and they don't bite. We're just dancing in the moonlight. That's his only hit in 1973. Of course, it made him a millionaire, and he's never had to write another song. He was able to marry that girl. He's able to tell that story of great healing in his life. There is a truth there. There is a truth in that story. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. God has given you the power to use his word, the truth of the reality, and speak it and sing it over your life and create a whole new reality. And it isn't just like scripture that says, comfort those with the same comfort you've been comforted to. I've been singing that song my whole life going down to Myrtle Beach, not even knowing the power behind it, a power of healing, a power of restoration, the power of redeeming something that the enemy meant for evil is now good. That's the power you have. That's the power of the word. That's the power of a word when you speak it and you start regurgitating it in your life and you start telling yourself and stop believing all this nonsense that school teachers told me, that family members told me, or whatever else. You have the power to set your reality to a whole new course. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for giving us your word and a word to be able to help us in our times of need. And God, I ask you right now, no matter what the listener has been through, no matter what the audience has been through, no matter what I've been through, you have given us and you're giving us a word to stand on, to speak over and sing over our lives as your supernatural power and your spirit invokes all the things in the universe we need to be successful. We ask you to go before us this week, God. We ask you to give us opportunities to grow and help others grow. Lord, we do speak blessings over our life. We do speak the promises that you have over our lives. We believe it and we receive it. In your name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer, you can feel free to come up here and someone will pray. Otherwise, you're dismissed to go.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.